As early as the 16th century, most of the Anglican clergy were opposed to slavery. 16th century clergy said, when we baptize people, they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. How then can you treat that person as your slave? Now, this was not a popular position. They were told by people who owned ships and people who owned slaves and people who owned farms that the clergy should limit themselves to conversations about spiritual matters and that they shouldn't be talking about economy that they don't understand, because the position was an economic threat. And indeed, it led to people trying to find reasons not to allow slaves to be baptized, or find reasons not to teach slaves to read, or find reasons not to allow slaves to read the Bible or the Book of Common Prayer. The clergy, however, continued to say, this is a spiritual matter. This is about us doing what Christ did, which is loving one another, recognizing that people, when they're baptized, are full members of the body of Christ and are brothers and sisters. And so what happened is this tension that they created led to England being the first Western country to abolish the slave trade in 1807. It took over 100 years to do it. But those 16th century clergy got it started. And they got it started in the right direction. One of the things that the reading that we heard from Ephesians today is about how we in the baptismal community treat each other. But it's set in the context of Paul's overall theology, which says the baptismal community, the church, is a witness to the world. So how the church treats each other says something to the world about who Christ is. So, for example, we remember from the book of Acts that the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch, and the statement was, see how these Christians love one another. They were known for how they treated each other. And how they treated each other became a witness to the world. How the church acts witnesses to the world. That's what the Ephesians reading is all about. Take a look at it. Get it out. Get your bulletin out and take a look at it. Starting on page 5. So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Now, in this sentence, the neighbors are our neighbors in the baptismal community, in the church. And it says, don't lie, speak the truth. Why? Because we belong to each other. And if we belong to each other, speaking falsehoods is like telling yourself a lie.
And we all know how well that works.
Right? Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. When there are cracks in the life of the community because of anger and upset, that makes room for the devil, according to Paul. Now, this is the sentence that I think is really interesting. Pay close attention to this. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Isn't that an interesting construction? This is not give up thieving because stealing is bad. It's make money honestly so you can share it with others. I think many arguments from what is called the right in our country fit with this verse. How do we make it work? How do we pay for it? How do we create an economy that, like the high tide on a river, lifts all the boats? Those are important and valid questions. Just as surely as how do we treat people with the love that Christ loved us is also a valid question. The divisions in our nation are divisions that we, by our behavior, hopefully, can show the nation how to overcome. That's the challenge that lies before us. And it may take 100 years. Remember how long it took what those 16th century Anglican clergy started to come to fruition. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only for what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. That is so apt today, isn't it? So many words in our society, in our culture, don't give grace. They tear down. They don't build up. But if we're supposed to treat each other and thereby show the world how to speak with words that are graceful and build up, that's something that our world today needs desperately. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. The Spirit is what brings the community together and makes it the body of Christ. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger, wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's the ultimate challenge for us, isn't it? To treat each other the way Christ treated us. To love each other the way Christ loved us. To feed each other the way Christ fed us. All of the readings today are fascinating in that regard, right? I mean, I love the 2 Kings reading. An angel shows up and basically is mom to Elijah. Right? Eat something, you'll feel better. Right? I love that. Right? Get up, eat again. You didn't eat enough. You need more. Eat. Caring for Elijah. God sends angels to care for people. Shouldn't we do the same? Christ brings bread from heaven. Shouldn't we bring bread? How do we treat the world the way Christ treated us? That's the challenge of this reading. And it's based on that core idea that how we as a community act and treat each other is a witness to the outside world about Christ. That's the key principle in Paul's missionary theology. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live and love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. How many of you recognize that sentence? A couple of you? You've heard it in the liturgy before, probably less for me than others. Okay? It's an offertory sentence. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It's the most commonly used offertory sentence. And it's walk in love in the prayer book instead of live in love. And the reason for that is because the translators of the New Revised Standard caught the meaning of the text, which is that this moving around in love should be a way of life, a way of being. And that's exactly what the text means. So the NIRSV didn't translate it wrong. But the Greek word actually is peripateo, which is where we get the word peripatetic. Good vocabulary words. Show off to your teachers next to your kids. Peripatetic means to walk around. Right? And the idea is that we're supposed to walk around through life in love the way that Christ loved us. That our mode of being in the world, our way of walking around, is to be in love like Christ loved us. The idea being that by the way that we treat each other and treat people in the world, we show people who Christ is. It's a crucial, crucial point. Now, next week, when you come to church, there will be two banners in the front yard. Those banners are put there to remind the world about the fact that we're supposed to treat each other in certain ways. Those banners will have on them two verses from the book of Hebrews. They won't have political jingles. They won't have other kinds of things that might be startling or jarring. They will be a pointed reminder to the community that we're about treating each other and the world the way Christ treated us. So it'll be two verses from Hebrews. Do not neglect to show hospitality to the stranger. And remember those in prison as if you were in prison, those who are being tortured as if you yourself were being tortured. And we're putting that out there for a couple of reasons. One, there are two ways that the church works in the world. One of them is loving charity, caring for others, what we call service on the tree of our corporate life that's on the cover of your bulletin. We do that really, really, really well. I'm very proud of how we do that, how we care for the world around us, how we care for people and try to help them out. We do that well at this place, and I'm very proud of us. The challenge is there are forces in the world, just like with our 16th century Anglican clergy, there are forces in the world that would say to the church, now stay out of politics, stay out of economics, stay out of structures of the world. But part of the challenge that we're supposed to present the world is a call to structure our life, our corporate life, in more loving ways. Now, the technical name for calling our structures to change is social justice. That word gets misused a lot and gets misunderstood a lot. People think social justice only means rallying on the street for one side or another. But we're not contributing to the division of our world. That's not what we mean by social justice. What we mean is we're going to show the world the way we treat each other, which is the way that Christ treats the whole world. You can have all kinds of debates about all kinds of political things. That's fine. But you should show hospitality to the stranger, remember the prisoners and those who are being tortured, whatever side you're on. That's the peace that brings us together. And I believe we need to do that. I believe we need to remind the world of that. Somebody after the 8 o'clock service said to me, thank you so much. So often we're preaching to ourselves, to the choir. It's good to know we're going to put something out there for the world to see. I thought that was a very interesting comment. What we put out there doesn't have to be taking sides. What we put out there has to be the love of Christ. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that because the world needs it. And because that is the path to bringing together the divisions in our world. It may take a long time, but that's the path. Just telling people to treat each other with the love of Christ is the path. It's right out of Ephesians and all of Paul's teaching. The other reality about this is that it's important for church growth. And here's why. I'm very proud of this place. You all know that. I'm very proud of all of you. And when I'm out and about in the community, I tell people, I'm the priest at St. Luke's. You should come and check us out. Whenever I speak to somebody younger than me, one of the questions I get asked when I tell them about St. Luke's is, what does St. Luke's do for social justice? I get asked that a lot. It is the fact that people who are Gen Xers, who are millennials, who people who are younger than me, look for a public statement from a church. Because to them, that means the church is doing something. So it's also good church growth, as well as good biblical theology. Now, we're not going to do crazy political stuff. We're going to call the world to act to each other the way Christ acts. We're going to call the world to love. We're going to call the world to compassion. We're going to call the world to treat each other the way we want to treat each other in this church. That's biblical. It's Pauline. It's Jesus. It's also the solution. It may take a long time, but treating each other with the love of Christ is the solution to our society and our world's ills. And it's high time we start reminding the world of that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to act towards others the way Christ acted towards us.